Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
Magic makers, it's Kim here, and I have another great episode for you. Today, I had a conversation with my good friend, Lisa Mustard, and we got down and dirty all about body and food obsession and how it took us both down the track, the obsession, you know, how much food we're eating, how much food we're not eating, how much am I working out, how much should I be working out? If I didn't work out today, I needed to make it up. And we talked through how we got caught up in how I looked and versus how I felt, how this behavior was affecting other areas of my life. And, you know, Lisa Mustard is a clinical talk psychologist, and it was really interesting to hear from someone who, you know, clinically knows all the signs, knows what the behaviors are, yet was drawn into the same pattern of behavior. And if this is something that you've fallen into, or you think maybe I am in this kind of behavior, you want to listen up to the rest of this episode. And if it's something that you want to have a deeper discussion with, please, please, please reach out to myself or Lisa. We are here to help you so that you can, you know, get through this period as seamless and painless as possible. So listen up. Lisa dropped some great knowledge. Enjoy the episode.
This week's iTunes review is brought to you by M.L. Martell. She writes, 5 stars, Kim is more than just knowledgeable in just health and fitness. She is supportive, reassuring, and on the level. She gives it to you straight, just the way most people need it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate that review. And you too can review Fit Girl Magic Podcast. Just go to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to this show and just leave me a 5-star review. I love them. I take them to heart. I just want to make sure that I'm bringing you the best stuff. So thank you so much for all of you who have left me a review so far. I can't wait to highlight you. Hey, Magic Makers. Today is a great interview. Okay, I know, they're all great. But today I am speaking with a really good friend, Lisa Mustard. She and I met in a coaching group, and we've just stayed in touch over the last few years. And what I like about Lisa is that she is a marriage and family therapist. And she, you know, is able to understand it from, you know, the clinical point of view as far as health and fitness and how it all boils into our brains, but she also knows from her own personal experience, where I think, you know, we all get trained in a particular modality, but it's that personal experience that really brings the whole, our whole knowledge, our whole sense of community full circle when you're actually able to like live and experience that. And today's conversation is, you know, all about obsession. Food obsession, body obsession. And for those of you guys who have been or in this moment or you've been in this moment, you're probably shaking your head. So enough listening to me go on and on and on. I want to introduce Lisa Mustard, our guest today. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Kim. Thanks for having me. This is really cool.
Yeah. So Lisa, you know, before we do a deep dive, just give people a little background about yourself.
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me on your show. And thank you for that introduction. Because I, as you were talking, I was reflecting on the past, you know, 7-8 years of my life and what I've been doing. Yes, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in South Carolina. I work primarily for a military branch. Been there, 10 years now working for a military branch. And for many years, what I would do is would go around the state and do family and couples counseling for soldiers and their families that were dealing with deployment related issues. And so that's kind of been my focus for the past 10 years. That's kind of like where my expertise lies. However, prior to working with the military, I've worked in college counseling centers. I worked in an addiction recovery center. And I actually started my career in health education and promotion. I've always been interested in like behavior change and health education and why people do what it is that they do. I mean, I am always curious about that. My husband calls it nosy.
No.
I'm a therapist. I'm just really curious about people. I want to understand where people are coming from, especially if it's getting in the way of them living quote unquote their best life or normal life. And I'm also a mom. We have two girls, 11 and 8. They are active and amazing and wonderful. And I'm married to a guy named Billy. And Billy, he creates abnormal strength products or fitness products. So he's in the throes of that. He and I met, this is part of my story too, because I think it's important. He and I met 20 years ago when I first moved to Columbia, South Carolina to go to grad school, and we became friends and training partners in the gym. So Billy is really the one that kind of got me more focused on, you know, I say bodybuilding, but I don't want people listening to imagine, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, as Arnold,
right.
Like, you know, just getting in the gym and lifting weights and lifting heavy and just the benefits of all of that. So so I've been in the gym over, 20 years. I can't believe I can say I've been in the gym 20 years. And I was a personal trainer at one point, you know, just have a love of health and wellness and fitness. So that's kind of, you know, a little bit of a nutshell of my background.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's true. Like I think back to myself of like when I really got serious about the gym, it has been, you know, over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And most people probably think about that, like 20 years in the gym, like, whoa, that's a lot. And so when you first started, you know, back, you know, now it's like 20 years back, 20 years ago, when you first started at the gym, you know, did you have goals? Did you, or were you just like, I should go to the gym? This is something I should, you know, what was the kind of impetus to get you in the gym?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I talk about this a good bit with some ladies that I kind of coach and help. 25 years ago when I graduated college, I realized that I don't know what it was, but something kind of hit me when I graduated college. Like, I need an activity. Mm. I am sitting around. I was a public relations major. I was sitting around a lot. And I just kind of knew that I was starting to get into health and wellness. I was reading Self magazine and Shape magazine. Remember those magazines? And they were like all the rage in the mid 90s. So I would pick those up in the store, and I just loved these women who had muscle. You know, I was just intrigued by that. And I thought it was so pretty. And I never had a weight problem. Like, I was never overweight. I always ate healthy. You know, never had to deal with being overweight. But I would look in the mirror and be like, you know, I could probably do better in that area. And I always say it's okay to like your body and want to change it at the same time. And that's how I felt. And so when I first started, it was more like, I need to go, I should go, this is going to be good for me. But I wasn't consistent with it. I just couldn't get into a routine in my mid-20s. And then when I ended up moving, this is probably where it kind of kicked in more, I moved to Atlanta. And I was working for the Goodwill Games, if you remember the Goodwill Games. That was Ted Turner's, you know, answer to the Olympics, a made-for-TV sporting event. And so I worked in sports marketing, and I was around professional athletes a good bit. I don't know if you remember, like, Alexander Popov, the swimmer, Michael Johnson, remember the sprinter, Johnson? Yeah. Michelle Kwan, like, they were like our spokespeople. And not that I was like hobnobbing with all these. Oh, Dan O'Brien. Remember Dan O'Brien?
Oh, yeah.
So I was around these people a good bit. I had also prior to that been in like I worked for a sports marketing company, and we did a cycling race where that's when Lance Armstrong hit it big. So I was around these like really athletic people all the time. And so I would see how they trained. I would see what they ate. And I was really curious about, well, how did how did they become interested in all this? And just by kind of being around them, I saw this is their lifestyle. Like this is, it's a part of them. They don't second guess it. It's just what they do. Mm-hmm. And I realized like, okay, Lisa, you have to make this part of your lifestyle if it's going to stick. So, you know, it was just experiences along the way, talking with people, observing behaviors, being curious about other people, that it all just kind of started to click. Like, Lisa, if you want to, you know, go run a marathon, or if you want to train for a 10K, like you can't half-ass it. You have to find a program that you're going to enjoy and that you're going to stick with, and it's going to give you the results. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be Dan O'Brien or Michael Johnson or Lance Armstrong, but I could learn from them, and I could do the best that I could for me at, you know, in my mid-20s. So that's kind of, I guess, the process of when I realized that if I wanted to do this, I had to get consistent, because I wasn't consistent prior, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And then I think being around these athletes, it just showed me like, this is how they do it. And there's no half-assing that. Like you can't fake it. Well, Lance Armstrong, that's debatable, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like you can't fake that type of swimming talent. You know, you can't half-ass it. So that's probably when I got more serious. And then Kim, from the Good Will Games, I went to work for World Championship Wrestling. And that in itself was an experience. And that's probably when I got to be even more serious in the gym, because I would be around these wrestlers and I would see how they train and how they ate. And that was really fun. And it was a really great time in my life. But I also kind of realized, like, I don't want to be in sports marketing for the rest of my life. I wanted to do something different. And I was, you know, my late 20s, I was starting to feel like I wanted to help people. And I think because I was, you know, kind of like learning how to help myself, I was really inspired by that. So then I moved here to go to grad school to get my master's in public health. And that's probably when the, you know, the food issues and the body image issues kind of started to kick in. So I can share more about that as well. Let me know.
Yeah. So, you know, here you are, right? So you're surrounded by, you're kind of in a environment where it's healthy to be obsessed.
Right.
You know, this is my job, you know, like, and even if you're not getting paid for it, you know, for, you know, the Lance Armstrongs on the world, for the track athletes, Laura, like if I want to go to the Olympics, like I have to be the best. So you're surrounded by that and you're seeing what is possible by being the best.
Correct. Yep. I'm seeing it.
So, you know, by pure osmosis, like, you know, when you're in that energy, you kind of look to yourself, you're like, wow, like I'm talking to these people and they're regular people and, you know, but they're able to do superhuman things with their physiques, superhuman things, you know, in athletics just by eating better and working out.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I can see being in that environment for so long that you're kind of like, you know, they say we're the sum of the five people we surround ourselves with. Well, you were surrounding yourself with like 500 people who, you know, that was their jam, you know.
Yeah.
You know, working out and fueling their bodies.
Yep. That was their primary job. That's what they did. That was their living. And, you know, when I got to World Championship Wrestling, it was a little bit different for sure, because there was a lot more, you know, I don't want to say vanity, but it was a lot more entertainment, and you had to look a certain way and you had to act a certain way. And I saw what these guys, mainly the guys, went through. I didn't, you know, we had the, oh, I think they were called like the Nitro. I can't remember what they were. The dancers, the ring girls.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so like, all these people were pretty, like they were nice. Like they're lovely, just good humans. I know. And you know, they were very inspiring, because I was like, I knew that took a lot of work to train like that. And so, yeah, I was inspired for sure. And you're right. Like I was surrounded by it. I mean, that was my job, surrounded by it.
Yeah. And you know, good, bad, or indifferent, that kind of stuff rubs off on you. So you're seeing, you know, that what they do day in and day out, and you're like, why can't that be me?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, now, you know, it was you had to seek it out back in the day. Now I just pull up my phone and I can follow, you know, anybody who I think has the physique that I want, or anyone who has the lifestyle that I want. And it's all up in my face every day. So it's really easy to kind of fall into that trap of enoughness.
Yep. Oh yeah, totally. And I don't know about you, but I mean, for sure. And I think in my, you know, I always say I'm grateful social media wasn't around when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, because I think that was such a formative time of my life. It would have probably made it worse, and I probably would have ended up with an eating. I mean, I don't know. You know, I say I would have ended up with an eating disorder because on some level, clinically speaking, what I was dealing with was, you know, I always say it was disordered eating. It wasn't a diagnosable, like you couldn't, you probably wouldn't diagnose me. A clinician wouldn't look at me and go, well, you have anorexia or bulimia or binge eating disorder. But I knew that something was like not right with my thought pattern and it was affecting my behavior. And I think that I come across so many women in, you know, their 30s and their 40s and their 50s who are looking at Instagram and social media and just feeling like they're not enough. And it's really breaks my heart because first of all, I know what that feels like. And second of all, you know, I kind of feel like if you get to a certain point in your life and you haven't really focused on it or worked on it, what is it going to take for you to finally get to it? You know, and I always say it's never too late to change, you know, but I feel bad for women who know that it's there and it's bothering them and they know that they could get help or they could talk to somebody and they don't for whatever reason. And that breaks my heart. I don't know if that's stigma. I don't know what that is. But I know that they exist because I encounter them and I just can kind of pick up on it when I hear what they say about themselves or about their bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just said an awesome amount of stuff. So I'm going to back us up. Okay.
Okay.
So, and you know, I'm coming from a place of like, I was an obsession too. So at what point, you know, you said you moved to Atlanta and then you kind of started to sense that, you know, your thoughts weren't exactly the thoughts that most people have. Right. What was it that kind of started to like, have you think I'm doing some things that are a little too intense or too obsessive?
Well, honestly, when I think back to that time in my life, and when I was in Atlanta and then when I moved here, I wasn't so much concerned about the size of my body. I wanted to add muscle and I was really focused on lifting heavy and eating for muscle. So in the beginning, it was like, this is what I have to do to reach my goals. And I think really what happened for me was when I decided that, okay, now I want to see the lean muscle. Now I want to see what I've built. I just couldn't get my brain around, okay, to diet down or to lean out, you have to cut calories. Like there's no other way around it. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I wanted to cut calories and I wanted to do the exercise because I thought that was going to be the answer, right?
Gotcha. So I
started on that whole like diet, cardio, diet, cardio, diet, cardio. And then my body just like revolted and was like, no, sorry, we're not going to do what you want us to do. Because I truly believe I was in some type of like hormonal craziness. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to the doctor. I don't have like confirmation, but I was doing all of this cardio and I wasn't seeing results. But I also know that I probably wasn't eating the right foods at the same time. I was obsessed about it. Like I was like beating myself up all the time. Like, why isn't this working? But when I look back on it now and knowing what I know and what works in my 40s, I'm like, Lisa, you just didn't have all of the right information and the right support system to get you where you wanted to be. So that's when it started to like, I thought I was doing the right things. Mm-hmm. Like I truly thought I was doing the right things. I thought 2 40-minute sessions of cardio a day. And then if I eat the sweet potato and the chicken and the broccoli, then I will get to my goals. But it just didn't click for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't working.
And it's funny because, you know, still, you know, here we are, fast forward, let's just say 15 years later, mm-hmm. that's still the thought pattern that is burned into a lot of women that the more cardio I do, the leaner I'm going to get. And and you know, from a mathematical perspective, that seems like the answer.
Right.
I'm burning calories.
Right.
I'm cutting calories. So 1 + 1 is damn sure going to equal 2.
Exactly. Like what the heck?
Right.
Why isn't it adding up? It just made me crazy.
Yeah.
It made me crazy.
And so, you know, for many of you who might be kind of like where Lisa was, where she's like, you know, I'm doing all the things, but like, good God, like nothing is, you know, nothing's changing. My body's not changing. And I just had a conversation with a client about this last night. It's that It's the law of diminishing returns.
It is. Yes.
And so I want you to think about when you shovel in a snowstorm, right? The storm is still happening and you go out and you shovel and you think you're done. And then you look back out an hour later and you're like, what the fuck? Like there's 3 more inches of snow out there. And you go back out and you're shoveling again. And you're just like, sweet Georgia Brown. Like I can't catch a break up in here. Right. That is that, you know, that cardio calorie cycle. Yeah. And we've all been in that. And I'm not saying it to make anyone feel bad about you, about themselves. What our conversation is that I want you to stop like trying to do more.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's that, you know, I think, did you say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? Like I was living the definition of insanity. And, mm-hmm. and I was, I remember, you know, thinking that, and along with all that came like the signs of guilt and shame. Like yep. I know what I need to be doing, but it's not working. And so I would beat myself up like, well, something's not right here. What am I doing wrong? So then I would almost like obsess about everything I was eating. And then I didn't want to go out and go places because yep. I couldn't control the food at the event or I couldn't. And I wasn't fun to be around. Like Billy would just, I mean, he'd tell you I was not fun to be around. Because I would just kind of worry about food or, well, what if they have served this? Or, you know, I mean, I remember this, like I had a breaking point of like, why? And I remember having a couple of them, come to think of it, but I remember talking to him and, you know, Billy is, he is so well-versed in lifting and human nutrition and, you know, just to everything when it comes to like building a physique and eat. I mean, he's just one of those, got one of those brains, like he listens to a information and he's like can regurgitate. So he would tell me, Lisa, you need to stop all the running mm-hmm. and you need to get back in the gym and lift more and do less cardio. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not a woman. You don't know what you're talking about. So I would just be like, I don't, and he would say things like, you're not eating enough carbohydrates. I was like, well, carbohydrates make you fat. You know, so it was like this mindset just, right. It was just nauseating. And I look back on it and he's such a good guy for sticking through it. But I do remember one day having that breakdown and just being like, okay, I'm tired of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results and it's not working. And I just looked at him and I was like, I'm ready to do something different. And that is the key. And this is, I go back to this all the time when it comes to change in your life and wanting better for yourself, you have got to try different things. You cannot stay in that cycle of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results because that is where the change is going to happen, by trying different things to get you to your goal. Now I know, and I say this to my counseling clients all the time, just because you try something different doesn't mean that's going to be the ticket for change. Mm-hmm. However, you've got to try a variety of things to get to where you want your different to be. And different sometimes sucks. Sometimes different is really difficult.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid of having to go through the hard times because that's where we grow. And that's where we figure out what it is we want to put up with and what we don't want to put up with. So that's kind of an aside, but I remember just kind of succumbing to him and being like, okay, you know, obviously how to add muscle and lean out. You're a guy. I know your hormones are different, but you like the jerk maintains a low level body fat all the time. I mean, don't get me, he's kind of a genetic weirdo. Like he just is one of those guys, but he works really hard in the gym and he's very consistent. And so I knew that those two things had to come back into play. Had to get back in the gym and lift heavy weights. And I had to be consistent with that. I couldn't stop it. And I couldn't try to throw more cardio at it anymore because that was making me miserable. And here's the crazy part, Kim. You and I know the more cardio you do, the more hungry you are.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Like, duh. You know, when I stopped the cardio, so much cardio, I wasn't as freaking hungry. And that was like, oh, Lisa, you just discovered, you know, this huge... Tell everybody, don't do so much cardio and you won't be so hungry. You won't want to go eat the house. So right. I could rein it in, look at what I was doing and be more clear. And I wasn't tired. You know, I wasn't mean. And just all of that stuff. Like I started to actually, and I also told myself, I want the ladies listening today that one of the things I told myself is like, I wasn't going to just give it 3 weeks. I wasn't just going to give it 30 days. I wasn't going to do the jump into this challenge and give it 30 days or, you know, change everything in 60 days. I was in this for the long haul.
Right.
Like I wanted sustainable, maintainable, long term lifestyle change that I didn't have to in 60 days go, oh, well, that's not working anymore. Like right. I wanted to see the slow and gradual results that I could keep doing and I could readjust and evaluate as I went along.
Right.
And I want to say you helped me with that because, you know, you and I coached a little bit a couple years ago. You helped me with that. And I always go back to Jill Fit and her like moderation 365 idea.
Right.
And so like just kind of looking to the women that were doing it and were like getting results and just kind of keep going, follow what they're doing. And now that I've been able to do that, I feel like I've kind of come around and I know what works for me. And at 40, right. going into my 47th year, I'm still adding muscle and I'm still able to maintain, you know, I love my body image. Like I love it now. And even if I was 5 pounds heavier, I would love it because I'm at peace with like my mindset. It's so much about being at peace with your mindset than it is about anything else.
Right. So I want to go back to like, so you finally said surrender. You surrendered. And what was it about where you met surrender? Was it that you're like, I can't do this anymore? Was it, you know, taking away from your job? Was it taking away from your relationship? Like, what was it that you just kind of said, all right, whatever you say, Billy, I'm going to do.
Yeah. Honestly, and I know a lot of moms listening who have girls, I hope maybe this will resonate with them, but I have 2 daughters. And I remember being like telling Billy, like, I do not want to give this to them. I do not want to perpetuate this. I don't want my daughters to grow up seeing me this way. I don't want them to feel like this is how you're supposed to be as a woman. Like, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to change as a role model. And I knew that for them to have the best role model and me, I had to work on me. And I had seen that in other areas of my life prior. Like for me to be, I remember before Billy and I got married, like that's how I decided to become a therapist is he and I broke up and I went to counseling to work on myself. And I remember the therapist saying to me like, well, you can't change him, but all you can do is work on you. And in the process, as you change, that might change your relationship. And so I understood that process. And so like I had that kind of insight or that leg up, like, okay, well, I know if I want to raise healthy daughters, healthy, strong, confident daughters, I have to be that healthy, strong, and confident mom. So that's when I was like, I'm really doing this for them more than I am at this point for me, because I was just really tired and I just didn't want them to, you know, and I love my mom. God love my mom. But I mean, and she, if she listens to this, she's going to laugh. But like, I remember my mom doing step aerobics in her bedroom at night, you know? And then also, I also remember her kind of like then saying, well, I can eat all these Doritos because I worked out last night. So right. There's like that mindset of, you know, that's also there. So there's that like justification of, well, I worked out so I can have this. And that's a lie too. Like to me, that's just a big old lie.
Right.
And it's just a fact. It's not to make people feel bad. You know, another thing too that I had to get very clear on was like, the logic behind all of this. Like we women were very emotionally driven and we don't think it's fair and we're so sad and we're so blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, ladies, like get the facts on what our bodies are doing and what works and what doesn't. And like Billy's 6'3", he's 220 pounds. I'm 5'1", 116. I cannot match him. I cannot eat like him.
No.
It's not fair. Well, that used to be my mindset, but now I'm like, I don't want to eat like him. Like I would throw up if I tried to eat as much, right. You know, but like back then I would be like, well, he can eat ice cream and not put an ounce on. So I'm going right. to, why can't I? So, you know, you get into that, like the whole illogical blah, like your head just kind of goes in all these crazy places. So yes, but to back it up, it was really, I succumbed because I did not want to give this to my daughters. I didn't want that for them
yeah.
at all.
And that's one of the main things I always say to my clients, you know, you talked about these 30-day challenges. And one of the things I struggle with 30-day challenges, I'm all in with like a 30-day plan. I'm all mm-hmm. in about that. It's the 30-day challenge where you give up stuff or you're not doing something for 30 days or you're doing, you know, 500 push-ups for 30 days. It's like, is that sustainable? Could you do that for 5 years? Could you do that for 3 years? And if I'm giving up sugar or I'm giving up flour or all these other things I'm giving up, what happens when your kid has a birthday? Are you not going to have cake with your kids on your kid's right. birthday? Yeah. What happens if, you know, it's a summer day and you're not going to have ice cream with your kids? Like that just, even though it seems like a small thing, I can
Big.
See just how here you are, 47 years old, and you're like, I remember in the 80s, my mom doing step aerobics, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's probably something your mom's like, oh, you remember that? Like something that she didn't realize that you were observing. And our kids are observers, you know?
They see everything. They hear and see everything, and especially little preteens.
Right. And sadly, it's not the things we want them to see and observe. And,
right. Yeah.
And view.
I mean, I want to be able to, I mean, I don't want to be that mom, because I see these moms, you know, I take the girls to like Chick-fil-A or whatever, and we get like an ice, what are they called? Ice cream cones. I see these moms who abstain from it. And I'm like, that's, you know, well, and I'm not judging it. I mean, maybe she just doesn't want one, but I don't want to be the mom that abstains because it's like, oh, that's just not in my meal plan, or that's not, it's not good for me. I mean,
right.
I want to have it too. Like, 'cause I love it. It tastes good, you know, but the good thing is we don't go every day, you know,
right.
We go once every couple of weeks. So it's like, it fits into what I'm doing, it works. I'm trying to think of, for like pizza, I'm like, you know, we eat pretty healthy as it is at home. We don't go out a whole lot to eat, mainly because we're just budget conscious, not because, you know, we don't love to go. We love to go out. I mean, I love to go out. But, you know, recently my husband, the girls were like, we want pizza. And Billy was like, well, do you want pizza? And I was like, well, yeah, let's go have pizza. Screw it. Like, I can eat pizza. But as a family, we also ordered a big salad. And I was like, everybody's eating salad first, you know?
Right.
And so that's kind of like our mindset. Like, the girls know they got to eat vegetables. They may not always want to, but they know that they got to have a vegetable with their meal, or, you know, so it's not like we're eating two large pizzas. We're having a big salad, and then we're moderately enjoying pizza. So,
right.
You know, we make it work.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's where, you know, you've gotten to this point of, it's not this all or nothing. It's
right.
Not like I'm either dieting and, you know, staying away from my family because I have to do 4 million hours of cardio, and then I got to follow it up with another 4 million hours of lifting.
Right.
And then, like, let's not even talk about the people who spend all day like meal prepping.
Oh, I feel for them. I hate meal prepping. Oh, I hate it.
And it's funny because it's like, I've gotten it down to like such a science that it's like, I literally this morning while I was prepping for this interview, I just totally a shameless plug. So my niece bought us an air fryer for Christmas. And
oh, cool.
I was like, this whole time, some people kept telling me about this appliance. And I was like, dude, I can't put another piece of crap on my counter. Like, my husband will divorce me. It can't happen. So our niece got it for us for Christmas. We're like, all right, let's see how it is. I really thought I'd use it like once or twice and like put it in the cabinet.
Yeah.
I've used that damn thing every single day. And while I was getting ready for this interview, I literally threw in like 3 pieces of chicken, and in 6 minutes it was done.
I need one. I need one.
I cooked shrimp in it last night. I like threw shrimp in like 7 minutes later.
That's
it
awesome.
Was done.
Yeah, I need one of those. Billy got me an Instapot he just bought me one, which is great too. It definitely saves time, but I kind of wish he got an air fryer.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of it. I can't tell you that it was like top on my list, but I'm like grateful for it. And I just was reading, you could make hard boiled eggs in it. I was like, trying this. Well, you can make hard boiled eggs in an Instapot too.
Yeah, I know. I have to look into it. But yeah, okay, I'm going to put that on my list right now.
Yeah, I had to do some Googling. But one of the things I wanted to, you know, kind of like, as we kind of come to the bottom of the interview, is that, here I am, you know, Sally Listener. Thank you, Sally Listener. And I am like, okay, everything she's saying, I kind of feel like I'm in it. Kind of feel like, wow, or maybe I have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say what are a handful of, you know, tips, tricks, hacks that, you know, you can start with the experimentation? Because, you know, the big thing, I know why I kept going back was that I felt safe there.
Right.
I felt safe that unless I did, you know, an hour on the Steramil, you know, dying, then... you know, I would immediately, probably by the time I drove home, put on 50 pounds.
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring that up, because I kind of forgot about that idea or that notion of, you know, you feel safe there, even if your body's not changing. It's almost like if I stop doing this, it's all going to go to pot, you know?
Right.
So I remember that feeling too. I remember being scared that if I cut it out, if I stop, then it's, I'm going to just gain 80 pounds. And I think really I had faith. I just had faith. And I think also my pain of just being miserable was I was like at this bottom. I'm like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. So even if I do put a few more pounds on, I'll be okay with that until I can kind of figure out what I need to do different. So it really, for me, I had to hit that bottom of I'm tired. My family is going to suffer. You know, my husband isn't happy with this. I don't want to go on vacation because I'm fearful they're not going to have the steering wheel. I mean, just silliness, but I look back on it and I was in it. That was like my mindset. And I know a lot of ladies listening are going, they're like nodding their head going, yeah, girl, I feel you. I know that's where I am right now. So I would say, look to the women who have what you want or who've been through it. And, you know, if you need to hire a coach, because that's really kind of what I did. Billy helped me kind of get my brain around it. And then I said, okay, well, I didn't want to write my own programs because then that's a whole other thing too. I won't do it if I write my own program.
Exactly. You're not going to program in what you need. You're only going to program in what you like. So you're like, you're never going to program yourself to do 500 snatches. Like that's just never going to be in your program.
No. And I also said to myself, if I wanted to do that cardio, I would just go out and walk. I would just go and replace X amount of, because I found it walking to be very, cathartic. I found it to be very relaxing. I would just go walk around the block. I wasn't doing any power walking. I just wanted, because I knew I also needed to like relax. Mm-hmm. I knew that like leisure walking would help with bringing some of those hormones and the inflammation, like all the stuff that adrenal fatigue that, you know, maybe I was going through. I never got tested for anything, but I knew that I had to learn to relax around it and just get my mind right and just kind of think like, what the heck am I doing all this for? If I'm doing this to raise healthy daughters, then, you know, this is what that looks like. So I did that. Like I got my mindset and I remember saying to myself all the time, like what you do today is going to pay off in a couple of weeks. Yep. Like I remember saying that to myself and I say that to myself now, whenever I start a new program, that's hard or, a new workout, I'm like, okay, this really sucks today, but it's going to pay off if I'm consistent with it. Just stay consistent. And know there's going to be ups and downs and just embrace it. Embrace the journey because you can always and I told myself worst case scenario is I'll go back to what I was doing. Just worst case. But I didn't really want that. So it was like this mind game I played with myself.
Right.
But I wouldn't let myself stay in those thoughts for too long because it wasn't worth my energy. Like don't let that be the focus of your day. There's so many things that you can focus on.
Yeah, and I liked what you said. So it was like, I think one of the biggest things is that it becomes a habit of time, you know? Yeah. So for me, I worked about 45 minutes from my house at the time and I went to the gym after work as a way to, not sit in traffic. If I went to the gym, I wasn't in traffic. And so for me, I had to be like, okay, so instead of like killing myself on the Stairmaster, it turned into, I walked and I watched the news. I was like, And it's so fun because I don't really like to watch the news, but I was like, all right. I literally just walked on the treadmill and I watched the news. And then once it got nicer out, I went to a track and I walked around the track, but it was like, I was used to that time being done with something physical and not sitting in my car. Cause I knew that would push me back to the gym hard sitting in my car. So, for those of you who are just a fear of like, you know, just how do I fill the time? Sooner or later, you'll come up with a way to fill the time, but it could just be scaling back what you do. So maybe instead of that extra cardio session, maybe it's going to yoga because as Lisa alluded to, a lot of the excess weight that you might feel that you have is inflammation. And so once you start, you know, not beating the tar out of yourself every day and doing, you know, leisurely type things such as yoga or walking on the treadmill, it's not going to, or even if you live in an environment where it's nice outside, one, I'm jealous. And two, it gives you a chance to relax. And I remember when leisure walking, I had adrenal fatigue and I'm still working through that right now. when the nutritionist I was working with said leisure walk, I literally, thank God it wasn't video, because I rolled my eyes. I was like, walking, what the hell's that? I'm like,
right, I don't walk.
Right. If I can't break a sweat, why do it?
Like, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That was my complete and utter mindset. But at the time she's like, okay, then, you know, the 30 pounds that you can't get off, it's going to just stay there and it's going to grow. And at the time, Esther Blum, I love you to pieces. She did my very first podcast. So listen back at her. You'll hear. She says it the way I need to hear. Like she needs to like kick me in the stones for me make a change. So I, you know, I'm hopefully if you're in that throes of it. But it was leisure walking that really helped me just to listen to me.
Start
to listen to some of the thoughts that were not serving me.
Exactly. Yep. Just time with yourself to reflect is just, we don't give ourselves that gift.
No.
We really don't. We're so busy. And a lot of times when we have that time, we're filling it by scrolling social media.
Right.
You know, we're not just comfortable sitting with ourselves because we don't really know how to anymore. So I love what you're saying. Yeah.
I was at my parents' house over Christmas and, you know, I was sitting outside and I was writing my journal and my mother said, you know, given how so many things, like so much electronics and stuff like that, she goes, you were always someone who sat with a book and wrote. And she said, I'm glad that you haven't lost that. And it's true, like, because nowadays it's so easy to like get up and be on my phone or be on my computer or be, you know, it somewhere else. But like, it's me being with my thoughts that really helped pull me out of the obsession. It really helped me to like get quiet and ask myself, what the fuck am I doing? Like, why?
Well, I mean, you have to have that discussion with yourself. Like, and you can't avoid it. If you really want to work through this, you can't avoid it. And sometimes we avoid it. We don't talk about it. We don't want to open that box because of we're fearful of the unknown. And if I go there, is it going to be worse than what I'm going through now? What is it going to stir up for me? Am I ready for that? Do I want to just acknowledge that? Because it could be a sign of a bigger issue for a lot of women. I mean, I could go on for hours about this, Kim. And as a therapist, you know, if I was working with somebody, we would go there. Like that's part of it. But in this context of what we're talking about, usually it's deeper than that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I always, you know, I say that, you know, it's you're in seek mode. Mm-hmm. And there's something that is in your life that you're seeking.
Yeah.
And fitness is easy because all I got to do is go in the gym and I get those feel good hormones. Like I don't have to do a lot of things to get those feel good hormones, but in my life, there might be, you know, some mountains I got to climb, some valleys I got to go through in order to get that same feeling that I get at the gym over and over and over again. So I think, you know, I do have a few clients who I always ask them, I'm like, you're running away from something in your life. And you're just channeling it into the gym.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And some of you know what you're running away from. And I'm going to tell you, it is always going to chase your ass. And so if it means, you know, just being with yourself and getting quiet and doing some journaling and just doing some deep thoughts, which could be scary. I totally understand that. Or maybe it is, you know, seeing someone, and you know, seeing someone doesn't have to mean that there's something wrong with you. It's just sometimes you just need to have a conversation with someone who can help you to guide the questions to ask yourself.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I'll be like, I've been a therapist over the years, for many, many things in my life, and I've also had a life coach, and they're both, such different processes and journeys. But that's the best gift you can give yourself. When you're ready is to hire somebody to help, you know, counsel you through it or coach you through it. It really is a wonderful, wonderful gift to have that. Give it to yourself.
And especially if you're listening here and you just don't really know how to pull yourself out. Mm-hmm. I needed that help. I needed that support. And it's one of the reasons why I do this work is because, you know, as Lisa mentioned earlier in the episode, when you see someone like doing what you did, you just want, I just want to like stand in front of you, put my arms out and like block you from the brick wall. Just be like, girl, I know that brick wall, it's going to hurt like a son of a bitch when you hit it. And I know that it's probably going to take you 3 or 4 times hitting that brick wall before you finally sit down and you're saying, you raise your hand, you say, uncle.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I do the work that I do. You know, that's why, like, you know, I stay in touch with people like Lisa, who I know that, like, she's like, just from, you know, like you, like, I ask a lot of questions and it makes my husband nutso that, and some of the questions I ask are really hard. And, but I've been asked those hard questions, those questions that you just like, be like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to open that box and see what's inside.
Right. Oh, completely. Yeah. I didn't, oh gosh. I mean, I think back to, you know, why was I so obsessed with having the certain leanness? Like, why, what was that all about? And it was a self-worth thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, well, if I can get to this leanness, then people will find me attractive, or I will have accomplished something. You know, I put so much weight on how lean was I? And it's silly. Like, I don't know. I look back on it now and maybe, you know, process through it. I'm on the other side. And now it's like, I never get on the scale. You know, I work out, I eat right, I am happy, I don't obsess about things. Moderation is my, you know, my mantra. Like, I don't stand in front of the mirror anymore and like pick myself apart. And I don't know what shifted. I guess it was, I started to focus on finding, you know, helping other people and focusing on helping other, you know, my work was very validating to me. My work is very validating. And so I got a lot of that, like, you do good work at your job. And then when I had my girls, it was like, oh my gosh, I have children. Like, that's the utmost, you know, important work, and my marriage. And so it's, you know, I can still kind of get the shiny object syndrome. I like a couple years ago, a friend asked me if I would, you know, consider like those Mrs. pageants. You
oh,
know,
yeah, yeah.
I could totally do a Mrs. pageant. And for 6 weeks there, I was all in and ordered the shoes. And then I was looking at dresses and I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And I think it was just like, I was looking for something to, you know, like lift me up a little bit. And I knew if I got into that, then other things would falter. Like my, and I didn't want that. I think I just needed something different in my life to do. And I kind of processed that with Billy and some friends. And I was like, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to spend all the money on that just to, you know, no offense to those pageants, because I think those women, I mean, they work hard to get up there and it's a lot of work and, you know, they do a lot of good work with those pageants. But I don't know. I just was like, what is that about? Like, I don't need to get up there. I don't need to do that. It'd be fun if I could just jump on the stage and get up there and talk and be done. But there's so much prep work that goes into it to do a good job. I was like, I don't have the energy for that. So, yeah. It's weird. I don't know what that was about.
Agreed. I still coach girls too who do fitness competitions, and many of them still fall into that bucket of, if I do a competition, I'll save myself from myself. Yeah,
right.
So, you know, and you're, so now that you have that kind of self-awareness, you're able to step back and be like, okay, am I doing this because I really believe in this whole Mrs. America pageant thing, or am I doing this because it's something to do? You know, so it's like you have the kind of like the self-knowledge now to take a step back and ask yourself why.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. I think the whole fitness competition, figure competition, like I've been there too, wanted to do that. I mean, I get it. It's find myself worthy of something. Somebody gives me a trophy. I've accomplished something. Everybody's looking at me, you know, applauding me. And then at the end of the day, you're still with yourself, you know?
Right.
It's like, and now what?
And if it's, you know, and, you know, just so you know, I'm not trashing it. I'm asking, ask the question, why, you know, is it a bucket list? You know, some people, their bucket list, I want to run a marathon. Great. Run that marathon. I'll just cheer for you because I'm never going to do that.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, we could take that and use it for so many different examples. And I'm not downing on it either. I totally respect, anybody who trains for something like that, for, I mean, and I love going to those shows. Like I love that world. I love the bodybuilding world. I get so geeked out and I love to be around, you know, I love going to GNC or Vitamin Shoppe or Whole Foods looking at supplements. I mean, I love this kind of stuff. And I'm always wondering like, okay, well now that I'm in my 40s, what do I need to be taking and what's going to help me with this and what's going to help? So I love this world of health and wellness and fitness. I just know that, you know, personally, I don't need to get up there to be validated. You know, I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, as kind of we bring this conversation to a close, the big thing is, you know, kind of ask yourself, the workouts that you're doing, the foods you're eating, do you like it?
Right. That's a good.
Do you like it? You know, yeah. Is this something that you can see yourself doing for the next 3 to 5 years? Because if it's not, now you kind of have to kind of take a step back and say, you know, what would make me happy? Mm-hmm. And what success look like for you? You know, are you scrolling through Instagram and you're seeing, you know, these Instagram people and you're like, that's success for you? Or is success for you, like Lisa said, defined for herself, is that she wanted to be that mom who raised strong, confident women. Right. So, you know, I think taking that step back of saying, are you happy with what you're doing? Yeah. And then what is success for you? Because what you're doing should lead to your success.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I love what you're saying. I mean, that's everything right there.
And I get it. And, you know, I think I should do a whole episode on like the definition of success, but like I was in that obsessive world for 9 years, 9 years. And just like Lisa had that, like, no fucking way moment. I had the same, this is a horrible example, but it's the first one I can think of. It's like an alcoholic, right? One day they take that last drink and they're like, I can't anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore. I just can't. And I know if I keep doing this, something bad's going to come from this, or I'm not going to wake up, or I'm going to run my marriage into the ground. Or my kids are going to have problems. I mean, it just isn't going to get better on its own, is, I guess, the big message here.
Yeah.
So I do want to share, I would like to share a couple of things, if that's cool, if we have time.
Sure, yeah, bring it on.
Okay, so, because I know a lot of women might be going, okay, well, what did you do different moving forward? How did you finally figure out that formula for your success? So I want to kind of back it up and just give some tips and some pointers as
perfect.
To
I love it.
What I did. And I, you guys, so like I said, I wasn't 20 pounds overweight. I wasn't, you know, 30 pounds. I don't know if I had adrenal fatigue. I don't know. My hormones were, you know, at that point in time, I'd had 2 babies. I was late 30s. So, I was, you know, I don't know what my hormones were doing. I never got them checked. So I can't speak from that world. But what I can speak from is being able to lean out in a sane and manageable way. And when I say lean out, I don't want people to think like, you know, my goal was, you know, 12% body fat by any means. That wasn't it. It was just reduce some of the muffin top and bring, you know, I really wanted to lean out my legs a little bit because that's just what I wanted. You can love your body and still want to change it at the same time. So that's important. So what did I do? So I eased up on the cardio. I started lifting heavy again for probably 4 days a week. I was in the gym. Progressing my weights. So when I say that, I was doing anywhere between like 3 sets of 8 to 12 reps, just depending on the body part and the programming at the time of, you know, the program I was doing. And then when it came to nutrition, you know, I always kind of play around with things. I was really, I will say, intermittent fasting in the beginning was really helpful for me because I knew that if I wasn't going to do all of that cardio, I had to manage my calories. And I never really was a huge breakfast eater growing up. So for me to skip breakfast and not eat until 11 was okay. So I just started to focus on reducing my calorie intake, but I was still eating enough protein. I was still eating my vegetables. I was still eating carbs. I just reduced the amount of calories I was taking in. And the easiest way for me to do that, being a mom and someone who was busy at work, was just to do intermittent fasting. And I would do that 3 to 4 days a week. And then I would eat, you know, quote unquote normal. And it worked. It worked really, really well for me. However, I got to a point where I wanted to put on, I was like, I wanted to have more energy in the morning for my gym time, because I had changed my schedule and I was working out in the morning. So I needed to eat before I started working out. So really, I just kept the same amount of calories. I just changed up my eating pattern or my eating schedule. And I mean, nowadays, Kim, I mean, I'm 5'1", I weigh about 115. My calorie range is probably anywhere between like 1,200 to 1,700, just depending on the day. And I eat meat and I still have my treats and I still have a glass of wine. I will say that if you're drinking a lot of alcohol, you got to really manage that, because that is not going to help you at all. Like, you've got to manage that. That's like the first thing I go to when I'm like, what's going on, Lisa? It's over the holiday season, you know, had a little bit more alcohol. So I knew that was one of the things to rein in. And usually for me, that's like the thing that keeps me stuck. So when I rein that in and I get back to my normal, you know, calorie range, then I'm usually good to go and I don't obsess about it. And I don't do more than 30 minutes of cardio probably 3 to 4 days a week. And I'm not doing anything crazy. You know, I'm doing like a moderate intensity on the Stairmaster, not the Stairmaster, the elliptical, or I'll go for a long walk, you know, 60 minutes once a week, twice a week, if I can get it in there. But I'm not doing anything like I was doing. I'm not driving myself into the ground. And if there's a day where I'm like, I don't feel like working out today, I just take the day off, because I know if I give myself that rest, I'm going to come back the next day ready to go. So I think it's finding that sweet spot of, you know, your calorie range, what you like to eat. That's so important. You know, you have to figure out what it is you like to eat. And then, you know, just looking at when you can get yourself to lift heavy weights is so important. So, so important. And I like yoga. I don't do it enough. But you know, you'll never, mark my words. And I say this because my friends out there who always ask me about Pilates and bar, like, to me, don't get me wrong, those are tough workouts. Like, I've been to a bar workout and it kicked my butt for 60 minutes, but it's not going to do the same thing that lifting heavy weights is going to do. And so that's why I don't have a membership to bar or Pilates group fitness ever. Like, I'll never do it. Like, I'll do it every blue moon, cause I, you know, I'll try it out. But I don't think you're going to get the same results from that. And I also think you got to be careful with those boot camp classes too, because that will, I know women who go to boot camp classes 6 days a week and they're like, why can't I lose the weight? And I'm like, really? Cause it's a boot camp class. But I, you know, so if you're doing boot camps more than 2-3 days a week, then I think that, you know, you gotta look at that as well.
Yeah, agreed. There's a, I just learned last night that one of my clients, she goes to the gym, lifts, then she comes home, and then after work, she's going back to a boot camp class. And I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm tired just listening to that.
Right. God, it makes my body ache. And how's your sleep? Like, what is your sleep like? That's what I want to know.
And her, like, she wasn't giving me the full story until I was like, she's not sleeping well. She's not sleeping well. And she's craving like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's all that activity. And it finally was like me saying it's all that activity that got her to be like, huh.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, and also too, if people have questions and they want to reach out, like, I'm more than happy to, you know, answer any questions for if I can be of any support.
Yeah. So with that, that's a great thing. So as we kind of close out the conversation, where can people find you on the socials?
Ooh, I'm everywhere. Facebook. Well, mainly on Facebook and Instagram, and I am on LinkedIn. I do have a podcast as well. It's for it's called The Therapy Show with Lisa Mustard, and it's a podcast for talk therapists by a talk therapist. I do cover topics that might be of interest to your listeners if they're interested in like mental health and clinical issues, but it's mainly for other therapists who want to learn, you know, kind of like what's going on clinically, professional development. So you can listen to that. But you can find me on my website, lisamustard.com. You can reach me there. You can reach me through Instagram and Facebook too. Probably the best way to get at me.
And then, so the last question I have for you is, what makes you feel magical?
Oh, I forgot you were going to ask me that question. What makes me feel magical? You know, I think what makes me feel magical is when I'm with my girls and we just connect, you know, we're just having mother-daughter time and they're sharing with me and they're telling me things and or just having those moments of, I understand you, I validate you, I totally get where you're coming from, I love you. You know, just those magical moments of momhood are really what, and also my magical moments of being married to Billy. You know, when he, I really love family time when we're all together and we're doing something, day trips, or we're just together. You know, Billy and I are both pretty busy and my kids are busy, so we're always busy. And when we all just like get together and are watching movies together or having fun, or we're showing them something that, I don't know, this is a, like a long answer to a really short question. So, but I'm sure other moms out there, you know, can relate to what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, because most moms can relate to, like, you know, right now at the age that your daughters are at, they're at that age where like friends are going to start to become more important than the family. So you're just like, I'm just going to hold on with both hands.
Right. Yeah, it is. And you know, what's really cool is, I didn't grow up a really active kid. Like I didn't have a sport or something. So Billy and I have said like the girls are going to always have something that they're interested in. Like, you know, our intention was for them to always have something that, that lights them up and gets them excited. And I feel like our oldest is kind of finding her groove with that. Like she's really into aerial fitness. You know, like the silks and the Lyra, like she's really getting into that. And she's a great, great instructor trainer who's a really great influence on her, real positive. She's also a mom and, you know, she has like, she's been doing this forever. And she's got Eva thinking, you know, she wants to try out like for Cirque du Soleil one day. I mean, it's just really fun to see Eva like light up and just, I love watching her. And then my other daughter is really, she's kind of figuring her thing out. She's eight, she's into ballet, but then she's also into piano. And then, you know, she's thinking she might want to do basketball. So just kind of like being in this space right now where they're having fun and I love watching them learn how to try new things and challenge themselves. And I always share like, that's what breeds confidence in kids is, you know, when they try new things and if they love it or hate it, they've built confidence. That's a learning lesson right there. So, I just love it. I mean, it's really amazing. I never thought I would say that, Kim. Like, I didn't think, I mean, if you told me 20 years ago, this would be where I am today, I'd have been like, what? Are you kidding me? Me? No. I work at World Championship Wrestling. Yeah.
So that is awesome. And I want to thank you so much for, you know, what you've shared. I also want to thank you so much for like, you know, wrapping it up, kind of showing how you've like made the transition to, you know, what your new life looks like. And your new life, you know, doesn't look crazy. It looks, you know, something that's possible for anybody to live. So I want to thank you so much for that. And, Magic Makers, feel free to reach out to Lisa, listen to her show. Like she said, you know, she talks about a variety of mental health topics. So if that's of interest for you, you know, definitely look her up. All of these links will be in the show notes. So don't feel like you have to scribble madly. But thank you so much, Lisa, for your time. And thank you so much, Magic Makers, for listening. You know how I feel about you.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.